Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the High Cap Adventure Radio Program. My name is Matt. I am your host, and we are going to have an awesome day today. We have so much going on today. I've got special guests on again. But before I even start or go any further, I've got to tell you about last weekend. Last weekend at the gun show, by the way, today is September 5th, 2015. I apologize. But last week at the gun show at the Expo Center, we had a fantastic time. We met a whole bunch of people, a bunch of listeners, people just mingling, talking, buying guns, ammo, the whole works. It was a great time. And in the process of that, I had one of my customers come up, a friend, customer, and a generous supporter of the program, and we had a nice discussion. And he sent me an email, and I wanted to read this email to you because I feel this is very important. And he was very well driven about the topic as well. And he shall go anonymous by his request. But let me read his email to you. He said, great visit with you on Sunday. And then he goes, I found out years ago that I had O negative blood type. I began giving blood every 8 weeks or so over the years. I also discovered that in the event of my needing a blood transfusion, I would have to receive my specific type of blood, otherwise a serious complication would surely occur. I encourage any and every healthy individual to consider donating their blood. It is reported that a single donation can and usually will affect three people, maybe save their lives. Since I have this scarce blood type, anyone can receive my donation. I am called a universal donor. The event takes about 15 minutes, and after several days, your body will renew the missing pint or so. It doesn't hurt, so think about it. So my friend, my customer, my customer at the store, just a guy I've known for years, comes up to me and talks to me about this, and very generous contributor, like I said, and puts out the point about contributing blood. So I bring that out to you. Hopefully, if those of you have thought about it or considered about giving blood, hearing this may push you over the edge and actually do it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go into the highlights of the show today. We've got a lot of things going on, and I've got to maintain order here so we don't get them crisscrossed. But today in our concealed carry section, we're going to go over once again signage as it pertains to concealed carry. We're going to be talking about the 51% sign, 30-06, and now with open carry just around the corner, 30-07. And because of that, it's a great segue for my special guest, C.J. Grisham. C.J. Grisham is going to be on the show. Former head and founder of the Open Carry Texas and now running for state senate. So if we can get a hold of him on the line, we'll be talking to him. If not, we'll do something else. We're going to speak to C.J. and see what's on his mind, and I'll be asking him some questions pertaining to open carry. Our product spotlight today will cover plastic, or I should probably say, so I don't offend anybody, polymer or Kydex, but to me, it's plastic. But we're going to be highlighting Magpul accessories that Blackjack Firearms uses on most of their AR builds. We'll talk about what they are and why Blackjack Firearms likes to use them. Also, my good friends at Centex Tactical Gear right here in Temple, right down the road from where we're doing the show right now, have awesome products that will modernize your handgun and bring it into the 21st century. So I'll be going over that one as well. It's an awesome product. Back on the show this week is First Sergeant Matthew Kimmy. He's going to be going over again the importance of the bug-out bag and the must-haves that should be in those bags. The First Sergeant will also be joining us at the meet-and-greet at the Centex Tactical Gear Store after the show to help you select the proper items for your bags. I'll be talking about the meet-and-greet in just a second. If we have time, our guns demonstration will be on acquiring the proper sight picture with your handgun and so much more as we go through the program. So turn on your smartphones and listen to us while you're on your way to Centex Tactical Gear Store right here in Temple on West Adams. Meet me and the crew and everyone at Centex. There's going to be fun, food, and simulated firearms training. So go there now. We'll meet you there after the show, okay? Just a short drive there. I know you got a whole bunch of stuff going on the weekend, but not a problem. Just get the family, drive over there, and we'll be good to go. We'll meet everybody. Right into CHL, because time is limited. I wanted to talk to you again. Well, first, I got to tell everybody, you probably already know this, I'm a certified instructor for the state of Texas to teach concealed carry. I've been doing it for quite a long time. I got it down to a Nats fanny. I teach the stuff. I get the fluff out of the program, so we're not going to teach you stuff that's going to get you hurt on the street. But what's important, and the reason I wanted to do this again, is because C.J. Grisham will be on the program, and he's going to be talking about open carry. And I just thought this would be a great time to reiterate the importance of knowing signage as it pertains to concealed carry people here in the state of Texas. You have the unlicensed possession sign, you've got the 30-06 sign, 51% sign, then we have verbal commands, then we got bad signage, and then, of course, the new one, 30-07 open carry. Now, for the people there in Radio Land who can't see what I'm about to show on the camera, I'm lifting up to the camera the sign that you usually see at a 7-Eleven, any type of convenience store that sells alcohol. And what it says, basically, it's a big sign that says, notice, the unlicensed possession of a weapon on these premises is a felony with a maximum penalty of 10 years imprisonment and a fine not to exceed $10,000. This is given out by the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission. And how it pertains to a CHL person whose license is absolutely zero. It pertains to him or her not one bit. It's for the unlicensed possession. You, at this time, if you're a CHL holder, are licensed. This signage does not pertain to you. Please don't look at the sign and say, oh my gosh, I can't go in there. It's the unlicensed. It's meant for the criminal who probably can't read the sign anyway. So don't worry about it if you're a CHL person. The next sign is the Penal Code 30-06 sign. And once again, I'm showing it up to the camera. This is a terrible demonstration of the sign. It was basically for a projector. But I'm going to read to you what it says. The Penal Code 30-06 sign says, pursuant to Section 30-06 Penal Code, trespass by a holder of a license to carry a concealed handgun, a person licensed under the subchapter H, Chapter 411 Government Code, concealed handgun law, may not enter this property with a concealed handgun. Now, let me tell you why that sign is so important, ladies and gentlemen, if you've got a concealed carry permit. Because the state said you're allowed to carry concealed. And they said you're allowed to carry concealed under certain conditions. If you follow those conditions, you can carry your weapon, your handgun, concealed. But the state also says, look, some people may not want you on their property. So we've given them a way to keep you, the license holder, off the property. But for them to keep you off the property, they have to do it in a proper manner. That proper manner is Penal Code 30-06. In my training manual, I'm going to read out of you out of the section here from the training manual, Penal Code 30-06. It's very important. So get your pencils and paper. Penal Code Section 30-06, criminal trespass by a license holder. This section creates an offense if a license holder carries a concealed handgun on the property of another with notice that either entry on the property by a license holder with a concealed handgun was forbidden, or remaining on the property with a concealed handgun was forbidden and the license holder failed to depart. The section requires oral or written notice by the owner of the property or someone with apparent authority to act for the owner. In order for the license holder to receive written notice, a card, sign, or document must contain the following language. Pursuant to Section 30-06, Penal Code, trespass by a holder of a license to carry a concealed handgun, a person licensed under the authority of Subchapter H, Chapter 411 Government Code, concealed handgun law, may not enter this property with a concealed handgun. If the notice is given by a sign on the property, the sign must be in both English and Spanish, must be in contrasting colors with block letters at least 1 inch in height, and must be displayed in a conspicuous manner clearly visible to the public. Now, let me explain something to the person who wants to post this sign. Post it properly. For those of you who have a concealed carry license, you probably won't care because you're not going to go do business with those people because that's probably going to be one of the most dangerous places to go. A place that boasts that there are no guns allowed, to me, if I was a criminal, that's where I'd be going. So anyway, I'm being a little funny here, which isn't really funny. It's serious. I'm not going to go into a place that has no guns unless I absolutely have to. So there's your proper signage. Now, there's the verbal that we mentioned in Penal Code 30-06. If the owner of the property or someone acting for the owner is at the front door, we'll say, and says, hey, everybody, I'm telling you right now, if you have a concealed carry permit, I'm telling you, you can't come in here. He just gave you a verbal command. Otherwise, you're trespassing, Class B misdemeanor, I believe it is, and then, you know, that's not good for your license. So verbal commands are good as well. Now, bad signage. I just gave you some specific details on Penal Code 30-06. Well, a bad sign would be one that says, no guns, with a circle, slash mark, and a gun in the picture. To me, as the licensed holder, the state says, I have to have proper signage. That is not proper signage. So if somebody has a sign that says no guns, and it's got a circle with a slash mark and a gun, to me, that's not proper. I can still go in. It's not a problem. I'm not worried about it. You know, you want to stop me? That's cool. But there's the proof. Penal Code 30-06. Now, Penal Code 30-07, when open carry starts on January 1st, they may say, hey, look, I don't mind a concealed carried weapon where you can't see it, but I don't want one on your hip where everybody can see it and they start freaking out on me. So I'm going to post a penal code 30-7 sign, and it says, hey, it's okay to carry the gun concealed, but please do not carry it out in the open. So those are your basic signs and verbal warnings as to how to do and how to handle a concealed weapon or an open carry come January 1st. And I bring that up once again because we're going to be having C.J. Grisham on there. And Paul, did we get a hold of C.J.? And no, we didn't. So we got a little bit of trouble here. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. Since CJ's not online, we'll try and get him a little bit later. I'm going to bring on Matt. We're going to skip ahead, and we're going to bring up First Sergeant Matt Kimmy. He was on here last week, and he was talking about bug-out bags. And bug-out bags are very important because the times we live in, you never know when something's going to happen. And if something happens and you're not prepared, well, you can be in a lot of trouble. So, Matt, why don't you come on into the screen here? Help me out. I'm just shuffling notes here. And let me give a real quick intro on Matt again. He's a combat vet. First Sergeant Matthew Kimmy, in the U.S. Army since 1997, rank of First Sergeant. He's seen action in Iraq, Afghanistan, and the Balkans. First Sergeant Kimmy has 5 combat deployments and is a critical care flight medic. That's much different than a combat medic. And if he wants, he can do a brief recap as to what the difference is. And once again, the reason I've got First Sergeant on here is because of the importance. I know his skills. I know what he's done. And we're having a meet and greet at the Centex Tactical Gear Shop here in Temple, and he's going to be there after the show. And while we were in there talking earlier, he was using his experiences out in the field there in combat, and we look at certain products and say, well, this one might be better for certain situations as compared to this one, because I know I've been in combat for how long. I know what works and what doesn't work. So, First Sergeant, welcome to the show again.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. We're going to kind of recap. For those of you who listened to last week, you know what he was talking about, but we kind of rushed it. So I want Matt here to have a little bit more time, a little bit more ease in explaining what he's trying to get across on weight, ounces equal pounds, and how you don't want to be a pack mule when you're carrying stuff for a bug out bag. So what I'm going to do is try to shut up and not interrupt you and let you have the floor and tell us what you got going here and why it's so important. But first, tell us what the difference is real quick between a combat medic and what you do.
Okay, that's pretty easy to do. First, real quick on what I do as a flight medic, we operate in the back of the aircraft, and we're alone. We don't have other people out there to help us out. So ground medic, you're on the ground. You have other medical people to help you, sometimes a doc or other people. You're trained as an EMTB. We're trained all the way up to paramedic and critical care. We're handling stuff that doctors or other people actually need to pass off to us so we can get it somewhere else, so things that their facility can't actually handle. Every now and then we'll take on specialty personnel to help us with a critical patient. Other than that, we fly by ourselves in the back of the aircraft. We have a crew chief to help us out. And when we get on the ground at the point of injury, it's just us. So when we step out of the aircraft, we're just like the infantry guy. If we have to stay on the ground for any situation or extended period of time, it's us and the infantry guy, or us at the, where the IED, where the...
We're having a little bit of mic problem. Stand by. How are we doing there?
Okay. It's us where the IED or the firefight just happened. So we always, during a point of injury, end up where everything just went down. So you can imagine when we get on the ground, we're pretty much ready to do something, not just patient treatment. And people always forget you got to get back to the aircraft. So if your aircraft takes damage or has to leave you because you took too long on the ground, get your patient ready, or something came up where, weather or terrain or something wouldn't permit it and you had to do a hoist mission, you still got to get back to the aircraft. So that being said, having all your stuff ready, combat loaded, and all your bags and everything good, always check and recheck before you take off, and you can't do it just on a whim. It's got to be pre-rigged. So that being said, that goes into the bug-out bag. You have to have it pre-rigged and ready to go. So we talked before last time about you can only go 3 days without water, about 30 days without food, and then weight, ounces equal pounds. That is absolutely true. So when you're picking a bag, as we said before, make sure that the bag is picked last, and make sure the bag will fit all your stuff. So get all your stuff together, figure out what you want in your bag, and then pick your bag, tell it to what your needs are. If you want to blend in, get a bag.
I've got to interrupt.
Okay.
You say, pick the bag last. Do you know how many people, and me included, I am guilty, that's a cool bag, I'm going to make it work.
You can do that sometimes.
But that's a man of experience talking here, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, so listen to him. Take your notes.
So going on to the bag, the bag's got to be light because the bag actually adds into the weight of everything. And like last time I told you, the bag I picked was an Osprey Adams 65 large bag. Its weight was almost 4 pounds. It's 3.78 pounds. Yes, in that bag, there are other bags. So we have a survival toolkit bag and an electronic bag. And don't forget, you also need sleeping bag or other things to go in there as well. So it's got to be lightweight. The sleeping bag I picked was a Mountain Hardware sleeping bag, a compress dry sack. It's basically 2 pounds. So that's pretty light. Everything that I picked for the bag that we're putting together right now, total is 24.78 pounds. So even your clothing bag that's going to have your clothing, because you don't want to be wet. You'll get hypothermic and everything else. So everything is separated in its own little compartment for ease. We have a hatchet. It's the sheath itself is 1.56. A cook set hygiene bag is 1.5. And we're going to skip on down to some of the other stuff. Where we're getting into your medical bag is only a pound. Your windbreaker jacket is 0.7. So you see all these jackets people have that are, you know, nice city cools to have. They weigh a lot. But a windbreaker is simply that. It's just there to break the wind. Knife, we have a pup, the SOG pup knife. It's total of 0.77. We have emergency blanket, large. It's 0.7. As you go through and you add all these things up, just keep in mind, if you have something there and you're putting it in your bag, make sure it kind of sort of does a double job. So not one item does just particular one thing. Make sure it has a double job. Because the emergency blanket can also be used to keep the rain off of you or make a shelter as well.
I have to ask a question. You have a tool or an item that does a double job. If that item fails, then you've lost two items to help you. Are there anything in those items, that list of items that you have, that's like, no, you need this and this alone, so that in case I don't want to have one item that's supposed to do it, but that item broke doing the other task, and now I don't even have that item to do this task. Is there anything like that?
No, absolutely. So other things you can't do without cash. Got to have that. That's a tool, right?
That's broke, though.
You can't do without things on your feet. Can't do without dry socks. Got to have dry socks. Some sort of communication. So you don't have to have a cell phone. You can have a ham radio or even a little FM, AM radio, little Motorola. You don't have to talk on it. You can just listen. So it can be a listening tool so you can see what's going around you and your environment. Multi-tool Gerber. It's got multiple blades and everything else on it, screwdrivers and stuff. So that's the half pound itself. So as we talk about everything, it's all down to, you know, each little bitty bit. We have a 8-ounce squeeze container. That's 0.46. A slingshot, 0.34. Slingshots are great, you know. You can play around with it. You got rocks for days around here.
That's right, yeah.
We have a lantern. It's a solar lantern. It's actually 0.22. So it's really light. You don't have to recharge the batteries. It's got batteries that recharges itself. We've got a titanium cup. Titanium is a lightweight metal. It's 0.22. It's made by Snowpeak. Gloves. Got to have some gloves for moving stuff, so some white leather gloves. You can buy those at any hardware store. Those are 0.2 pounds. The microfiber towel, that's 0.2 as well. A little net, mosquito net, 0.2. We've got a bowl made by Fossils. It's 0.18. Flashlight. 0.18. The AA batteries, two AA batteries. But when I say two AA batteries, I need you to think you need a spare backup ones. And if you don't have another pair of AA batteries, if you have a lantern that takes C cell or D cell, you can, let's say it takes D cell, and all you have is some C cell batteries. Take some foil, shove it in there.
Yep.
It'll work. As long as it's got connections, it'll work.
Another thing, too, just to make a comment on that, because this, I was just going to say, you got to always check your batteries. You got a flashlight. Here's a perfect example that takes two lithium batteries. You can put two AA's in there as long as they're making contact. It won't be as bright, but it'll still work. So
absolutely. Cord. Let's talk about 550 cord or a para rope. You can use it as double, so it's got its outer sheath, and the inside it's got the little smaller sheath. You can do all sorts of stuff with that. Make yourself a hammock, weave stuff, weave things, make some fishing line out of it, especially once you gut it and you use the inner cord. You can even use it for shoelaces. Do it downrange sometimes when your bootlace is broken, your supply system can't keep up with you.
Actually, I used to make shoelaces for my boots, and then just have it there in just an emergency situation. Just not, you know, my shoelace broke, I'm going to replace it. I would have it as my standard shoelace.
Yep, got to have them. We have a compass, 0.11, and you also have a Sawyer straw. It's basically a filter straw. It's 0.10, so you can see all we're adding up. So all these ounces equal pounds. And an antenna for your ham radio so you can actually get some range on it, 0.09. Goggles for swimming. You never know. You might have to, you know, go swim, have some fun. Use it for other things also to protect your eyes from the sun and dust. That's 0.09, so really, really lightweight. Handkerchief, 0.07. You've got a neck gaiter, 0.07 as well. Sunscreen, don't forget that because you're going to be exposed to the elements continuously. That's 0.7. Spoon, titanium long, so think of things that do multiple things. I'd rather you have a spork than a fork and a spoon, because a spork does two things.
How do you hold your meat and cut it at the same time, Matt?
Use your Gerber.
Okay, go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. It's very difficult for me to stay quiet. You can't speak because you're on that side of the radio. I'm in the booth with him, and when he starts talking, I'm like, oh, what about this? What about that? So I got to just put my hand over my mouth. Go ahead.
So we have a lightweight chainsaw. I saw one today in the store we were at, as a matter of fact, the Syntex Tactical Gear Store. You put that in a tin. It all fit in there nice and tight, keep it away from the elements in the water so it doesn't rust. But the lightweight chain that you use to cut down trees and stuff to make a shelter or anything, it's actually 0.03 pounds. So that's good stuff. Total weight of the bag with everything in it is 0.249. That's including the survival bags and the other electronic bags we're going to talk about. So the survival tool bag, we've got the Altoid box with the chain in it all together. You're at half a pound. The wrench adjustable, got to have it. It's 0.22. The Mylar emergency blanket is 0.19. The light made by Britton, it's a lighter and a light together. It's 0.17. We go with a mirror pouch as well. With a mirror, you're looking at 0.12. A headlamp made by Petzl is 0.12. You have a spare battery case with other batteries and stuff in it. The case itself is 0.11.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me cut in here again because time is running out. He's listing these things down to show you what came up to his total weight for his rucksack, but all these things may not be applicable to you. So what he's trying to get across, and correct me if I'm wrong, First Sergeant, is that everything, ounces equal pounds, so whatever it is you're going to use, either find one that's of quality of a lighter weight or whatever does dual purpose, like he said, to minimize the poundage in your rucksack. And while we still have a little time, I forgot to mention the phone numbers. If you've got a quick question for the First Sergeant here and you want to ask him about it, now's the time to do it. You got a few minutes to do it. Phone number here at the studio is 254-773-1400, 254-773-1400. So if you have a question, call now because there's limited time. But Matt, continue on and keep giving us some good information here.
Absolutely. We're going to skip ahead to the electronics bag. So electronics bag, make sure you have any way you can recharge your batteries if you have that availability. So little solar charger or anything like that, make sure everything you have is interchangeable, whatever your electronics may be. And we're going to skip now to the clothing bag. So if you get a PolyPro shirt, it's basically a lightweight nylon, long sleeve one. It's going to keep you warm as well as dry out really fast. I've got one. It's 0.39 pounds. We've got the underwear, boxers, all that good stuff. Don't forget that. I'm going to tell you something that is really great, especially when it's really cold, is a watch cap or patrol cap. Doesn't matter what color it is, but it's, you know, you can get the microfiber one, and it's 0.15 pounds. Really lightweight, and it dries out really quick.
Why is that so important? Because the heat.
Yeah, 10% of your body heat goes out your head. You got to keep it warm. Got to keep it dry. Even if you're sleeping, it works out great. I'm just telling you that from lots of experience. Medical kit. So that's kind of my specialty, medical kits. You got to have something that's going to stop the bleeding. So tourniquets work great on extremities, only on extremities. If you can get regular roll Curlex gauze, you can use that to pack wounds with. Israeli dressing or some kind of trauma tourniquet, you can use that as well and apply pressure to the wound or the area. If you can get a hold of some bacitration, that'll work as well, or Neosporin. And if you have any moleskin use on your feet, you know, blisters, make sure you cut the hole out.
Now, Matt, you were at the Centex Tactical Gear Store here in Temple, and you were looking through the aisles and all that, and you saw a lot of good stuff there. A lot of the stuff that you're talking about, you can get there probably too, right?
Yeah, I saw some of the stuff on the shelves, as a matter of fact. Tourniquets, some of the quick clot gauze. Like I said before, the little chainsaw chain that's handheld. You just, you know, rub it back and forth on a tree, cut the tree down. But all that I saw was there as well. Just make sure your kit is lightweight, not too heavy, and you also can't forget your hygiene stuff. So hygiene stuff, baby wipes, aloe soap, something, a little hand sanitizer. Also, make sure you have some sort of powder for your feet and areas that like to take on moisture. You got to keep them dry or else they'll start to rub and chafe. And you find yourself trying to still walk or run or do whatever you got to do to get away. And you're having trouble do that just because it gets painful and irritated.
Does that powder that takes away the moisture gum up, though, once it gets the moisture?
Oh, it will. It'll gum up once it gets the moisture and stuff. That's why you have to, you know, make sure that you have dry change clothes because it'll get gummed up in your clothes. Make sure that you're changing your socks. And you can just, you know, wash your socks out anytime you come to a creek bed or whatever. Hang them on the outside of your pack and let them dry and just keep moving. Same for anything that you have. If it's supposed to be dry and it rains or whatever, you're going to have to let it dry out.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, you are probably not going to be in combat, okay? But it's still very important to have your bug out bag ready because you don't know what's going to happen. If you're in a situation that you have to leave, there's no time to put it all together at that point. You have to do it prior to it so that if you have to leave quickly, you just pick up the bag and go. It's basic essentials to keep you alive for 1 to 3 days. Okay, so you know, don't think, oh, I'm not going to ever go to combat. Well, combat can be on the street when you have no money at the banks. And let me give you a very quick example. A very good friend has explained to me when they were shopping in the supermarket that the credit card machines and the debit card machines were not functioning. They said, we're sorry, can't do it. And we've got elderly women in line with baskets full of food saying, but I got nothing to eat. How can I pay for this food? And the cashier is saying nothing but, I'm sorry, I can't help you. So what are you going to do in a situation that the ATMs are down or you don't have, your credit card's not working and you don't have cash? What are you going to do? So you need to think about that. If you put yourself in that position, do you have food to back yourself up with? So these are things that are very important to think about and get yourself prepared for. First Sergeant, we've got about a minute left. What is it that you like to tell people? How can they contact you? Are there any other special things that you like to put out there concerning what you do and how people can get a hold of you?
Absolutely. So outside the Army, I have my own little small business. It's 911 Target Medical Concepts. You can find us on the internet, 911targetmedicalconcepts.com, or on Facebook as well. You can reach us there, send us a message, email, or call us on the phone. We do special classes, as I said last week, for paramedic stuff. We do paramedic refreshers. We're starting a carbine class for beginners, and as well as, you know, going over stuff like this. We'll tailor classes for the customer. So if you need medical stuff, you need survival stuff, you need training for deployment, even if it's like just simple, hey, how do I handle a handgun? The same stuff that we do. Like I said last week, we're getting ready to go do hoist training with some folks. It happens to be out in the Bahamas, so it'll be a good thing. And we get to fly on their Super Hueys and go have fun at the same time.
Fantastic. Matt, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on the show. We're going to have to move on to some other segments here. Just stand by, you know. And we're going to be – I'll tell you what. Let me talk about the promo real quick here that Matt's going to be at. We got a special event today, Saturday, September 5th. That's today. It started at 10. We're doing the show now, but it's still going on at the moment at the Centex Tactical Gear Store on West Adams in Temple. The Aaron's High Cap Adventures radio program crew will be doing a meet and greet with you, the audience. And not only that, but our friends at Centex Tactical Gear will be having a specials, all sorts of specials. I think it's 20% off today only on selected merchandise. So my guest here, First Sergeant Kimmy, he's going to be there too. And he looked through the aisle, saw a whole bunch of stuff. Come to the store today. Go now. If you have any questions, he can help you pick out the proper items to use. They got great prices out there, and with the deals going on, you'll be able to get some good stuff. My consultants, Patty and Jerry, they'll be there too to discuss our CHL classes and seminars and to sign you up for the class dates that best work for you. And me, we've got a nice little shooting gallery over there, so I can help you and teach you, give you some techniques on proper grip and get an idea of how your point shooting skills are. So there's going to be food, fun, and simulated firearms training, and it's going to be on hand. So be sure to stop by at the Centex Tactical Gear Store in West Adams. The first 25 people who walk through the door will receive a free poster supporting the Second Amendment. So, and also, come check out the military Jeep for sale as well. It's right there on the trail. You get to see it. If you like it, buy it. But there's too much going on today, September 5th, at the Centex Tactical Gear Store on West Adams and Temple, not to come by, so come on by. And all of us at the gun shop, Aaron's Gun Shop, and the High Cap Adventure Radio Program, look forward to seeing you there. So if you want to look up more information, go to aaronsgunshop.com or go to centextacticalgear.com. Now, we've also got other things going on as well at Aaron's Gun Shop, and that's on, well, first of all, let me give you the number. It's 254-697-4721 is the number to the shop. If you want to email me, you can email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, or you can go right to the website itself, is aaronsgunshop.com. On Saturday, September 12th, we have a CHL class, 5 hours, $60. If you go to the Centex Tactical Store today, right now, you get a discount, $10 off. So head on out there right now. You get a $10 discount off the class. And then that class will start at 2:30 on Saturday the 12th. Also, we have a seminar. Go to the High Cap Adventure page on the Aaron's Gunshop.com website. We have a co-ed seminar going on starting September 13th at 8 o'clock in the morning. That is a Sunday. It covers everything from malfunctions to room clearing. That's an excellent thing to do. So if you take a CHL class on Saturday, sign up for the one on Sunday. It'll advance your training tremendously. Don't forget, I know you're here right now, but our shows are at 12:30 to 1:30 on Saturdays from now on. Promote it. Spread the word. The shooting range is open Friday nights from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's open to the public. 25-yard indoor range, adjustable targets, and adjustable lighting. And please go to the radio page on my website, aaronsgunshop.com. If you want to repeat this show or listen to some facts that you may have missed, we have a 24/7 replay. Go ahead and look at the whole page. Do what your heart tells you to do on that. We also have podcasts now. If you want to review some of the older shows, go to the radio page and click on the show that you like to see. Get to review and get all the information that were on those shows. And please like us on Facebook. Let's get some numbers up there on Facebook. So we've got a lot going on, but don't forget, Centex Tactical Gear Store here in West Adams is having a meet and greet. Aaron's Gun Shop will be there. Food, fun, and firearms training. So that's going to be really good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to go over a spotlight with you. Blackjack Firearms. I've talked to you about Blackjack Firearms. The owner, John, he lives right across the road from me, and he manufactures ARs. He's a manufacturer. Okay. And he's got all sorts of neat little things going on. His website, bjfirearms.biz, if you want to go check it out. But we're talking to each other, and I've brought in some guns before. But a lot of the stuff that he uses on his guns are Magpul products, Magpuls. And I asked him, well, why do you choose this? And he tells me, well, because they're all interchangeable. It's like same brand. It looks good. It's ergonomic, cost effective. They've got a diversified line of products, different colors, and they feel good. They feel good in the hand, the way they're shaped. So what I wanted to do, I brought some products on here, and for those of you watching in video land, you'll be able to see this. But I'm just going to go for the front end of the gun. They've got parts for the pistol grip and the stock, but I'm just looking at the foregrip, the handguard part of it, as to what you can do. What I'm showing here on the video is the handguard Magpul makes, and it comes in assorted colors, and I got the tan one specifically because I want to show the contrasting colors of the other parts as I put them up to it. But the handguard comes in different lengths, and it's basically of a design that fits your hand very nicely. It's shaped so as your hand grabs the handguard, it molds itself to the Magpul foregrip, and it gives you a good sturdy feel. The prices are good on these. They look good. And then some of the other parts, they've got angled foregrips. And the very first one that they came out with, it's called the angled foregrip. And what it does, on the sides of the foregrip, they are higher than the new one that they made. And the new one they made is the angled foregrip 2. It has no sides. It's just a slicker piece. So if you can see those in the video, one has a higher end and the other one doesn't. And I'll be honest with you. On some of my weapons, I like the first version that have the higher sides because my fingers rest on the higher sides and I don't feel the Picatinny rail touching my fingers. This one just like protects me a little bit more. However, on other guns, the newer version of the angled foregrip is slicker, trimmer, less noticeable, but still efficient and functioning of what it's supposed to do. So depending on what kind of gun you have, how big your hand is, or what your purpose is, or actually how it fits on the gun, one of these two would be nice. But basically, you just can attach it to your handguard that Magpul makes, because they've got different locking mechanisms that connect the parts to each other. And so you can put that down at the bottom and put your hand on it in an angled version as compared to maybe a vertical, which brings up the other part. They have vertical grips as well that go on the handguard. And once again, I'm going to show it in the video. There's two different types. The first type is the one that just snaps directly into the handguard. All you do is take it out of the box, slip it into one of the slots, pop it in, put a screw on the backside, and you're done. Then they've come up with a second version that when you take it out of the box, it's got a filler that goes in the top of the vertical grip that can fit on any Picatinny rail. It's not specifically meant for the Magpul. So Magpul makes the RVG, the rail vertical grip that will go on any Picatinny rail. So not only do you have your handguards and you got your angled forward grips, but then you got the vertical grips. But then we cannot forget the next piece of the puzzle, and that is the rail sections. So if you're looking at the handguard on the video, and hopefully I'm describing it to you well verbally, the Picatinny rails or the rail sections come in different lengths. They've got the long version and the short version. And you can attach the rails to the handguard so that you can either put a flashlight on it or you can connect your angled forward grip to it. But it's all from Magpul. It's all the same quality. And that's why I was asking John from Blackjack Firearms, I'm saying, why do you use it? He goes, because it's just too easy. All the different products, I can get basically any configuration that I want. I can put it all together. It's all the same brand. It's all the same quality. The prices are good, and it looks good. So if you go to Blackjack Firearms website, bjfirearms.biz, and check it out, I think you're going to like what you see there. The prices are pretty good. Their guns, they look pretty hot. So check it out. Go to bjfirearms.biz and see what they have to offer. I think you're going to like it a lot. So, and he's right across the street from me. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, really, get in your cars now. Head on over to Centex Tactical Gear Store in Temple on West Adams. Got a lot going on there, too. I'm going to move on now. And I've got another special topic I want to talk about. Since something came up with CJ, I guess something happened. So I'm going to move on to something that is very interesting to me. I think this is pretty cool. And I think you're going to like it. I've been noticing in history that people in positions of power and leadership have been warning us for years the dangers of becoming apathetic. And there's a quote from Benjamin Franklin. It says, "Those who give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty or safety." Now, some will argue, although this quote may not have been meant about civil liberties and government power, that's how I'm taking it. So when I see the government going crazy and infringing upon mine and your rights, I'd rather be left alone and defend myself than succumb to an overreaching government. Okay, that's my personal belief. I'd rather keep my liberty than give up, keep my liberty than give it up for security. But what I've got here, I pulled out some speeches or quotes from different people who happen to be past presidents. And the first one I want to read, and the reason I want to read this one is because I'm always telling everybody there's three different types of people. There's the informed, which are broken down to two parts, informed and active participants, or informed and sitting on the couch warming up the seats and not doing a darn thing. Then you have the ignorant, ignorant's not a bad word. It's just a descriptive word saying that they're not aware. They're not awake. Their head's in the sand. And then you've got the idiot. So that's the I cube. Informed, ignorant, idiot. So hopefully the ignorant will become aware and will become active participants as being informed. So I've got a part of a speech here that Teddy Roosevelt spoke. It was titled Citizenship in a Republic. It's the title of a speech given by former President of the United States, Teddy Roosevelt, in France on April 23rd, 1910. And one notable passage on the page, on page 7 of the 35-page speech, is referred to as the man in the arena. Here we go. I love this. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory or defeat. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're informed and you're sitting on the couch, you're not in the arena. I'm asking you to get up and get in the arena and do something, okay? Now, I want to move on to another one. There is a speech from Dwight Eisenhower. You might have known him. He was the Supreme Allied Commander of World War II. He had his going-away speech, his farewell address. He wrote in here, and he's telling us, he's warning us, he's saying, listen up. So I'm listening to all these people in positions of power, and they're saying right in your face, hey, here's what's going on. So when I read this, you're going to say, oh, wow, man, this is going on now. So let me read it to you. This is on January 17, 1961. A vital element in keeping the peace is our military establishment. Our arms must be mighty, ready for instant action, so that no potential aggressor may be tempted to risk his own destruction. This conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of the combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals so that security and liberty may prosper together. Ladies and gentlemen, are you seeing a conflict here? I think I am. Here you got a president of the United States who's going through combat. He knows the whole deal. He's telling you, be careful. Well, look what's happening. Look what's going on. He told you, and it's happening because we're not being aware. We need to stand up and tell everybody we know what's going on and speak up. Get off the couch. Now, I've just been informed that we have CJ on the line. CJ, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, it's good to have you on the program.
Thank you. Yeah, sorry about that. I guess my phone ringer was off and didn't hear it at all.
All right. Well, CJ, not a problem. We are short on time, so I'm going to hit you fast with some questions. Are you up for it?
Bring it.
I didn't think you'd say no. Hold on. Let me get my notes here. I've got my notes all set up pretty and all that kind of stuff. But first, let me tell everybody who you are. A lot of people know who you are, but we're going to make sure that the ones who don't do know who you are. Ladies and gentlemen, C.J. Grisham. I'm going to give you a quick bio on him. C.J. Grisham, arrested while engaged in legal carry, helping his son toward his goal as Eagle Scout, started the open carry movement in Texas. C.J. is a soldier, rancher, husband, and father. He has served multiple tours in Iraq and the Middle East. He has been a strong advocate for the limited government. His efforts to protect the Second Amendment freedoms as president of Open Carry Texas has received national acclaim, including being named one of the five finalists for 2004 Texan of the Year by the Dallas Morning News, the NRA's 2013 Defender of Freedom Award, and the NRA's 2014 Outstanding Leadership Award. So that's who we have on the phone, ladies and gentlemen, plus probably just a darn good guy. Okay? So, CJ...
That depends on who you talk to.
Yeah, I guess, right? They all say that about me, too. CJ, I'm gonna hit you hard, because, like I said, time's running out, and we're going to have to make this short. Like I do with all my guests, I write questions down, and I send them to my guests, because I want the question to be clear, and I want the answers to be thorough. So, once again, here we go. There's no tricks here. CJ, question number one. Why are you so aggressive in the promotion of open carry? I'm talking about your methods of making the citizen aware of their gun rights. And by the way, most of the time, I'd have to say 95% of the time, I dig it. Go for it.
Well, the reason I'm most aggressive is because the gun control lobby is equally aggressive. And the only way that you can combat aggression is with aggression. And, you know, for far too long, us gun rights people have tried to play with the kid gloves. We've capitulated. We've given them ground. And I'm tired of giving them ground. So the reason I'm so aggressive is because the gun control lobby is so aggressive and they're so pervasive in our society, beginning in our schools and ending all the way up at our president.
That is so foreign to so many people. I totally know where you're coming from. And you think, why can they get away with it and why can't we do it? It's because just nobody's engaged themselves. You have engaged yourself and you've had tremendous success. I'll tell you what, there's been so many times that we've asked questions. Hey, can you carry a rifle in your car? Can you carry a rifle in the back window of your truck? And you get a million and one answers. You have clarified that for so many people. That's
right.
That's great. Okay, let me go to question number two. What will you do, or what are your goals and objectives, if you're elected into the Texas Senate? Everybody, he's running for Texas Senate. I should have made that aware, too.
My goal and objective is to make Texas freer and stronger. I want to get the federal government out of every aspect of our lives. So I want to fight for an Article 5 convention of the states in which we, as the states, finally stand up to the federal government and say enough is enough. And I just want to get, if we can just get them out of our lives to the greatest extent possible, put them back in place as to what their constitutional responsibilities are. That is going to be my number one goal. And, you know, until we can do that, until we can wean ourselves off of federal dollars and wean ourselves off of federal influence, you know, we're just going to continue to go downhill. And so I would do that as well as work with other states to try and do the same thing.
You know, it's funny here because the people put in position those people in power in the Senate, okay? And the people in office are supposed to be afraid of who they represent in the sense of, hey, am I doing the job that they hired me to do?
So right.
You're on the outside at the moment, and you're getting everybody pumped up and motivated, and they're putting pressure on people, which causes things to happen. How is it when you get on the inside, do you think you'll have as much of an effect, or are you going to be restricted somehow by the way things are run in office?
Well, I'm not going there to serve any political party or any other legislators. I think that's the problem that we have right now in our legislature, is that everybody feels like they have to agree on everything. And I'm going there to serve the interests of the people, to serve the Constitution, and to bring back liberty. And you know what? That's going to buck me up against both parties at times. But what it's going to do is it's going to expose our so-called conservative Republicans for really the non-constitutional people that they are. And so I'm going to make some waves. I mean, obviously I have to play the game a little bit. Otherwise I get nothing done. But if I do nothing else, at the very least, I'll be able to start exposing the cronyism and the cronyist capitalism that we've got up there, where, you know, we've got corporate welfare and then we've got people welfare, and Texas can't afford either of them.
That's a two-sided coin, too, because what you just said on the other side of the coin is the people have to be aware. Like, you've made them aware on the gun rights. You've got so many people who are unaware of what their rights actually are. So you may be doing all this great work. We also, in addition to that, have to get the public out there to realize what it is you're fighting for. And I just see it so in so many different cases, how people are ignorant to their Constitution, the rights that they have, so on and so forth. And if you don't use them, you lose them. Would you not agree?
No, I completely agree. And, you know, one of the things that Texas can do, and it's not doing, is stand up to these unconstitutional mandates by basically a five-member black-robed oligarchy called the Supreme Court. You know, Andrew Jackson, when the Supreme Court, I can't remember the decision, but there was a decision that the Supreme Court made that affected the executive branch. And Andrew Jackson said, well, you just ruled on it, you enforce it. And he refused to enforce it. And I think that's what Texas and every state should start doing, is start standing up and say, you know what, Supreme Court, you're wrong. You are outside your bounds. And therefore, Texas is not going to support Obamacare, and we're not going to take part in it. Texas is not going to support gay marriage, and we're not going to take part in it. And what are you going to do about it?
Right.
You know, let the Supreme Court try and enforce their decisions.
You know, I don't know where you stand on this, and I'm not asking this question to give an answer. I'm making a comment here. Like, I look at Trump and how he has stirred so many people up and made them aware of certain situations. Whether you like them or you don't, that's not the point here. The point is they have been awakened and stirred. And it's like they're moving, and it's exciting to see that. That's what we need here and everywhere, is to get the people aware, awakened, and excited, and to participate. I'm always saying, don't be an active participant, you know? So hopefully, you know, when you get in there, that's what's going to happen. So very good. All right, time's running out. Let me ask you another question. Explain open carry, CJ, when and how, real quick.
All right, open carry is simply if my gun is showing, if I decide I want to take off my jacket when I go into a restaurant or to get out and pump gas, I am not a criminal. And that's really what it's all about. It's up to each individual when they think open carry is appropriate. Quite frankly, again, going back to what I initially said, the gun control lobby has successfully made the sight of a gun something that we're supposed to be ashamed of. So much so that even gun owners are opposed to open carry because they think it's all in your face. And what we've done is we've bought the liberal narrative hook, line, and sinker.
Amen.
And so what open carry does is it reverses that trend.
Very good. And when does it start? Can you explain the two, campus carry and open carry?
Yeah, open carry begins January 1st, and you've got to have a CHL to do that. Campus carry begins August 1st of next year, and you've got to have a CHL to do that. And you cannot open carry on any college campus, only concealed carry.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's very important. This is some of those little parts of the law that if you're not paying attention and you say, well, I can open carry, well, you're going to get yourself burnt. So you need to not be ignorant of the law. Pay attention to the law. Okay, CJ, let me move on. This is important because it's not clear, unless you've got some inside source that I don't. Is there any specific details on the holsters? For example, if someone had a little gun hanging from their neck, because I promote little mini revolvers in a special holster that I make, but if it's hanging from your neck, how does that fall into it? Or if a woman's at the beach with her bikini now in open carry and she wants to clip this little holster onto her bikini, does it have to be strapped to her shoulder or her hip? Or is there some type of variances to that?
Well, interestingly, the legislation doesn't say where the gun has to be. It only says that it must be in a shoulder or belt holster. So to the letter of the law, if you have a holster that can clip to your belt or can clip to your shoulder or whatever, and you put it on your ankle, then technically that meets the letter of the law. I think that's going to be something that we're going to have to challenge. I'm pretty sure we can challenge the constitutionality. It might take someone getting arrested,
exactly,
you know, because they see an ankle holster. But the law only says it's got to be in a belt or shoulder holster. It doesn't say where it needs to be. And it says it's got to be on or about the person. So,
and the reason I bring this up is there are so many times when an officer doing his duty, and man, I know he's got a million and one freaking laws he's got to remember. I understand that. CHL's got this little small amount of penal code they got to learn. But there are some things that when everybody looks at, they go, yes, it's understood. And there's other ones that go, well, no, I don't think about this, or how about it should be this way or that way. That's where I see this happening. And it's going to take somebody to get arrested to prove the point, I think. But,
and that's the sad part. The sad part is why do officers even waste energy on the fact that, oh my gosh, he's got an ankle holster instead of a belt holster? You know, I mean, I don't understand why our law enforcement feels the need to even harass gun owners with such a minor detail. They've got so much better things to do. And again, you're only going to have a minority probably of law enforcement that'll do that. Mm-hmm. But you know, any law enforcement officer that stops somebody because, you know, they've got an appendix holster or, around, you know, like around the neck holster or a bra holster or something like that, you know, that guy's got to rethink why he's even in uniform.
That could be a whole nother show.
Yeah.
All right, CJ, one last question, then we're going to have to wrap it up. Maybe you can answer this because I never got a straight answer. And based on our previous conversation, you said it pretty clear, so I'm going to have you say it to the public. Can a person wear a concealed and soon in the open on Corps of Engineer managed properly. I say managed because I'm not sure if the actual if it's actually federal property.
That's kind of a gray area. The answer is yes, because they don't own the federal property. But they're, you know, literally the legislation, if you read the U.S. code, it only applies to buildings. But at some point, the federal government has decided it applies to all land. And that's a problem, and it hasn't been challenged yet. But the bottom line is no, if it's not owned by the federal government, they cannot prevent you from carrying with a license.
Unless they have proper signage, right?
Now, that's not going to stop you from, again, I mean, gosh, they'll arrest anybody for anything. I mean, look what happened to me. So you're never guaranteed not to get arrested.
That's right. And sometimes being right isn't always profitable, but sometimes it is. So.
Exactly.
CJ, look, I can't stop the time from ticking. I've got to do another section here. I thank you very much for making the time to come on the show. We'd love to have you on again, maybe in the near future where we're not cut so short on time and get a little bit more in depth on some topics here. But is there anything, final 20 seconds that you want to say to have people come to you and see what you're doing?
Well, you talk about standing up. I need people to stand up. I need people to stand for liberty. Go to cjgrisham.com and help me fight. All my opponents are trying to buy this election, and let's show them that this seat is not for sale.
Sounds great. CJ, once again, thank you very much, and we'll be talking to you soon.
All right, you too. Take care, man.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, real quick, just to finish up the program here, I wanted to recap that we're going to be at the Centex Tactical Gear Store here in Temple on West Adams, and I wanted to talk to you about this really cool product they've got there. I think it's cool. It's called the Recover. And the Recover, basically, if you've got an old-style gun, you need to modernize it. So, first of all, in this day and age, the way the tactical lights have gotten smaller and brighter, not having one on your handgun puts you at a disadvantage. And this product that I'm telling you about allows you to update your handgun so you can utilize those products. I'm going to read to you right from the label. It's called Recover. And it transforms your 1911 pistol or, I think, a Beretta, and there might even be an HK1, too. And what it does is you take the grips off the gun and you put these two panels on and place it where your grips are, and it automatically puts on a accessory rail where you can attach a light to it. And what the cover here says, it's updated look, simplest way to add a rail to your 1911 or your Beretta or I think your HK. Easy installation, no gunsmith or permanent modification is required. It's a high-grade reinforced polymer, will not break or damage your gun. Universal fit for most standard size 1911 or your Beretta pistols. The product specs, the Recover is made of a high-grade polymer composite, plastic, and it's engineered to fit perfectly on any standard size model of the 19 or the Beretta 92 or the H&K, which I'm not sure which one it is. So you'll have to just come on out to Centex Tactical Gear and check it out for yourself. It's 80 grams in weight. Rail length is 45 millimeters. Available colors are black, olive drab, and desert sand. Okay, and it was made in Israel, so that's pretty cool. Anyway, great products. We're going to be closing up the show now, so please go to Centex Tactical Gear on West Adams and Temple. Got a Jeep for sale, lots of products on discounted prices. Sign up for concealed carry, CHL. The CHL classes are $10 off if you go there today. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, or go to centextacticalgear.com. And there's food, fun, and simulated firearms training. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always a blast to have a chance to talk to you. Until next week, keep your powder dry and have a blessed day.